ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So here we are living in the lap of nature. Srila Prabhupada used that phrase. It may be a phrase which he didn't personally coin. You won't say that in Tamil. It's an idiom. So it's not so easy to translate unless you have a parallel idiom in your own language. More or less you can say we're living in the shelter of nature, like that. The idea in the lap of nature. Just like the child is living, the child is on the lap of the mother, so it's a very protected situation. The child feels happy. Of course, sometimes the child squirms and yells and screams on the lap of the mother. That's also the... That's, what's that? Some explosion going on. What would that be? Any idea?
Oh, there is one Rama temple here. Ah. So there they are celebrating.
There's some kind of celebration going on.
Where they use crackers.
Fireworks, crackers, yeah. And there's another kind of explosion we hear quite a lot. The thudding, loud thudding sound. I think that's making wells, sinking bore wells. That's very common. Almost every day we hear, it makes a huge sound. You can hear it from miles around. Have you ever been right next to that while they're doing it? It's extremely loud. So anyway, we're living in the lap of nature. It all looks very nice. It's not so natural. If it was natural, it would be just pristine jungle. Here we have the sago plant, and I was just thinking the sago and the other one, the castor plant, they're two of not very pretty plants. They're quite ugly. Rice looks nice. Any grain looks nice. The mango tree here is very pleasing to see. All the mango trees. Some trees more pleasing than others. Mango trees, palm trees in general. Palm means coconut palm, betel nut, and all this. And the tal, I don't know what the name. Date palm. I don't know what tal is in English. Palm. I don't know. So it all looks very nice. Oh, and another way this land is not natural. It's terraced. The land is terraced. You can see here, the hills are terraced. But anyway, it looks a lot better than the general scene you'll see anywhere in the city. Is it not? We hear descriptions of Krishna's city of Dwarka. I was just reading the other day in the 10th canto, one word struck me. Jana Akirna means crowded with people. It was a big population. What was it? The number of tutors for the children of the Yadu dynasty was more than a billion or something like that. Ugrasena had how many billion bodyguards? Much more than the total population of the world at the present time. So Jana Akirna, a crowded city. And even this area is not so crowded as a city, but the population is dense. I mean, the whole of Tamil Nadu and Kerala, and you don't, you go in the country, you don't see so many people. There are people everywhere, though. Small villages, few houses here and there, especially in Kerala. You can go for miles, and there's no real village, but there are just one house here, another house there, another house here, another house there, like that. And quite frequent. Maybe three or four houses together like that. But in general, it looks much better. It's more pleasant to be. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, the rich men in the cities, they have country houses. They come out at the weekend to the country to get away from the city. Srila Prabhupada recommended that devotees who are not preaching in the cities, they can come and live in the country and chant Hare Krishna. That's the main thing, whether you live in the city or whether you live in the country, to chant Hare Krishna. I was just listening to a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had in Tehran, the capital of Iran, with the devotee who was leading the preaching there, Iranian devotee, who Srila Prabhupada had initiated with the name Atreya Rishi. He was well known in ISKCON in the late 1970, mid to late 90s. Well known, he was a GBC member. Srila Prabhupada made him a GBC member. So he worked for he was doing accounting, I believe, and he was working for some American company. And he had a few devotees with him. Dayananda was, you don't know him, I know him. Very pleasant and visionary devotee. Who else was there? Navayovana, Gyanagamya. They're all householders with their wives. They were there, maybe some others, no, just a few of them. And they were working in American companies. That was the pre-revolution days. And they were doing some preaching there also, developing some preaching. So Prabhupada was talking about the country. He was talking about Tehran because there's a very densely populated, and to go anywhere takes a long time because of traffic jams, which is still the situation, as far as I understand, in Tehran. So Srila Prabhupada was talking about how the materialistic people, they work so hard, they're always in anxiety, so much stress. Sounds familiar, sounds like most people's lives these days. And for all that, they just get a little food. And Prabhupada says, like the ass, because the ass works hard all day, and at the end of the day, he just gets a little grass to eat. He doesn't have to work hard all day. He can just eat some grass. Grass is easily available. So Prabhupada said this whole modern civilization has made people into a bunch of asses. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur identified himself like that. Also, Joro Vidya Jato Mayar Bhaibhav Tomar Bhajane Badha Mohajanami Anitya Sangsari Jeev Ke Kareye Gadha. He says that this materialistic education, it's just an exhibition of Maya, Krishna's illusory energy. And in this material world, which is everything here is temporary, it expands or it gives rise to illusion and makes the jiva, the living being, into an ass. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shri Gadha Hoye, what is it? Boja Bahin. Shri Gadha Hoye Karma. Bhojan, Bhoja Bahinu Anek Kal. I can't remember exactly what it is. I became such an ass, and I carried the weight for a long time. So it may not be that people are literally carrying weights. You see that less and less now in the mechanized society. It was very common in India up until recently. You'd see people carrying big in the cities. First of all, they'd push the just like grain, sacks full of grains. They'd push it from, and then they'd take it on their back. It had to be extremely strong, like this, and then they put it down. Now it, more and more it's becoming everything mechanized. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke about this, he didn't mean that he was literally carrying weights, because he was an educated man, which was not that many in those days. Even when I came to India, for someone to know English was a big thing. It was, if anyone knew English, that was highly, sign of very high education, it was considered. Maybe not so much in Bombay, but pretty much, even in Calcutta, and this and that. Not so much in Bombay. And Prabhupada used to lecture in English in Bombay and get thousands of people coming in the 1970s. That's all right. It's all right. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about the weight. What is the weight? The weight of having to work hard with the responsibility, and looking after a family. It's all right, don't worry too much about a fly. So many living creatures all around. It won't do any harm. Might be a little annoyance. So that was the weight he was carrying. So I'm getting back to Atreya Rishi Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada is talking about how this life, there's so much stress and you don't need to work so hard. And he said, then he said, I'm addicted to this way of life, Prabhupada. I can't live on a farm. And Harikesh also said, I can't live on a farm. If I go to a farm within 1 or 2 days, I want to rush back to the city. So Atreya Rishi said, I'm working here a job so we can support the preaching and everything, but even if I wasn't a devotee, I'd be doing the same thing. And so Prabhupada said, anyway, at least you offer everything to Krishna. And then you're doing everything for Krishna, so that's better than living in the... I'm taking it a little further here. It's better than living in the country and not knowing Krishna. But it is a very unnatural way of life, this whole modern civilization. They should invent some other word, because civilization gives the term civilization gives the idea of civility, bhadrata, sabhyata. And there we have the words bhadra. Bhadra means, how do you translate that? Gentlemanly, something like that. But modern civilization, there's one word which sums it all up, modern civilization. I have in this book I'm doing, this Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, I have a whole list of ways that Srila Prabhupada talked about to the modern civilization, cat and dog civilization, mudha civilization, and there's a whole list, but one word sums it all up: insane. It's completely insane, the whole way of life. And what's being done to the planet, and totally disturbing the whole ecosystem, and just so some people somewhere can get some more money and we can all live happily with our modern conveniences, and in the meantime get all kinds of diseases from the pollution. It's insane. I mean, that's only one aspect. Everything about my life, just completely insane. So Srila Prabhupada was recommending that those who are, if you don't have to live in the city, then come and live on the lap of nature. Specifically because that is conducive for practicing Krishna consciousness. That's the real point. The real point isn't to live on the land or to live on the 100th story of in a pigeonhole, as Srila Prabhupada called it. 100 story you don't have in India. What's the tallest building? Not very high, huh? I think 30 stories is a... Yeah, no tall buildings. I never saw any tall buildings anywhere in India, for some reason. Oh, there are regulations. The government doesn't allow. Because I remember that when they were building the Juhu, the towers, they wanted to go higher. But they, because, well, that was because it was near to the airport. They don't want the... I don't know exactly why. But... Srila Prabhupada often pointed out that in the village, even the poorest people, they have their children, have they can play outside, whereas in the modern cities, people don't have they have a pigeonhole, but there's no place for them to play. Maybe what they do with the richer people, they have all the apartments. And then in the center is some lawn, so the children can play there. So in many ways it's better for, in so many ways, materially, fresh air, fresh food, some austerities compared to city life. But the main point is it's conducive for God realization. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that rasoham apsa kaunteya prabhasmi shashi surya yoho. I am the taste of water. I am the light of the sun and the moon. What is the taste of water? Nowadays it's plastic, right? You get the water out of a plastic bottle. Or out of a tap. In the big cities in the west, the water will come in the tap, and it's already been through the sewage system so many times. That means the water they flush down the toilet with all the urine and feces and all that gets processed and comes out again in your tap. I don't think you should use that for deity worship. You have deities at home. Well, you can say, Om, what is that verse? Ganga cha Yamuna chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmada Sindhu Kaveri Jalesmin Sanidhim Kuru. Oh, calling all the holy rivers, please be present here. You can say that. Modern conveniences, you can have water, you can bring your plastic water bottle. Otherwise people would, the sannyasi would carry. Sannyasi doesn't have many possessions traditionally. He'd have a few kuh. In Tamil you can say guh. So what is that? Kopin? His loincloth. Kamandalu, water pot. Out of the few things he would have, one is a water pot. Karanga is another name for Kamandalu. Then he may have Kanta, which means in the North India, they need for the winter, this patchwork quilt. So he'd have a few possessions. Danda, Vaishnava would have a bead bag. That's he needs. Beads and beads bag. Not much. But one of the things he'd have is a water pot. It's not like in the modern world where you can just get water here and there. Especially if you go in the jungle. There are many stories of kings becoming very thirsty when... Or anyone become. Parikshit was very thirsty when he was. Why was he thirsty? Well, you can't carry around water when you're going hunting. So we also in the he was hunting in the forest. Then also the Pandavas one time. They were in the forest. They're all very thirsty. Well, the water may not be here, there, and everywhere. So they first of all sent the youngest, Sahadev, to find water. He didn't come back. Then Nakul, he didn't come back. Then Arjuna, he didn't come back. Then Bhima, he didn't come back. And there's only Yudhishthira left. And he found a lake with all dead brothers. They're all lying there dead. So Yudhishthira anyway thought, well, anyway, let me drink the water. He went to drink the water and said, Yaksha said, no, don't drink. First you have to answer my questions. Otherwise, you die like your brothers. So Yudhishthira answered the question. That's a famous part of Mahabharata, Yaksha Prashna. And then all. Similarly, Bhim, one time he was entering the heavenly world and he was forbidden from drinking the water. And anyway, he drank it. And then he had to fight with all the yakshas and he killed them all. The point is, water, it's not. So, and how will people drink? They just put their hand and take the water. If you come to a river or lake, and then you can really appreciate if it's not easily available. Of course, all these settled places, they're all made in places where there's water. If there's no water, water is life. we find that the ancient cities of India, they're built on rivers all along the Ganga. We find the important cities are there. Allahabad, Kanpur. Kanpur is not on the Ganga anymore because the Ganga went away. Well, the city grew out that far now also. Varanasi, of course. Calicutta was founded by the British on the Ganga like that. Here in South India, Madurai, on the important rivers. If there's no water, then all finished. Fatehpur Sikri, one city was built near Agra. It's empty because no water. Now they're afraid, in Bangalore and so many other cities. There won't be water, then the whole city will be finished. So Krishna arranges all this. That's the point. That we may make so many machines and so many arrangements, but Krishna gives the water. Or he holds it back. Tapamyaham aham varsham nigrinami udsrijami cha. Krishna gives the heat and light. He gives the rain, or he withdraws it, or withholds it. So everything is dependent upon Krishna. Prabhas Vishashi, he is the light of the moon. Surya, he is the light of the sun. So that we can appreciate. That's a beginning of God realization. Many people, they have a feeling nature is spiritual. And it is in the sense that every living being is a spirit. Yeah, every jiva is a jiva. That's how you got to say. When you go in the forest, then you can appreciate there's the spirits, spirit of the forest, spirit of the mountain. And there's spirit everywhere. Spirit energizes everything. Even the shadow. There's an art, you can catch people by the shadow. You see, Lanka, Hanuman is jumping. And the Rakshasi, was it? Wanted to catch by the shadow. So those who know the art can do so. Black art. That's why also we don't, out of respect, we try to avoid putting our shadow on anything sacred. So those who know, their spirit is everywhere. The spirit of the tree, spirit of the village. Throughout India, you'll find that there are local deities who are worshipped. Gramya devatas, They're called village gods, and there are different names of different goddesses in local areas. They're manifestations of the goddess Devi, who's Durga Devi, but her local manifestations are there. In Navadvip, what's her name? Paroma. They have the old temple of the local manifestation of Durga. I just can't remember. Pada. I can't remember, but very well known there in Navadvip. That's actually there all over the world. People worship different local deities, or perceiving the spirit. That's the beginning of God realization. And full realization is to know Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetuna Anena Kaunteya Jagadviparivartate. This whole material cosmos is going on under the direction of Krishna. But even without getting this knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can practically perceive the presence of spirit in nature. And that term is there, Shakti. That Shakti means energy, and it also means, so energy that is life, is action. And that she's also Shakti. Here, practically every day you hear this, Shakti, Shakti. It's the Tamil version of disco music is some song about Shakti. What are the words? Can you make it out? It's in Tamil. I can only make out Shakti, Shakti. What are the words? Did you ever listen? You never bothered listening to it, huh? Yeah, obviously Shakti means energy. Well, what are the other, there's other words to the song?
Other words? Lyrics.
What are the lyrics? Om Shakti,
Para
Shakti, a different Adi Shakti. So they're just different names of Shakti. Okay. But it's sung in a very Shakti Mati style. Like they're like a whole, like a train's going to come and run you over or something. Very powerful style. It's really. Giri Nandini. Another name of Parvati. Exactly the same meaning. Parvati, the daughter of the hill. Giri Nandini also means the daughter of the hill. Saying the same thing in another way. So that's a beginning of God realization. And Bhagavatam also says, if we find, Shukadeva Goswami begins his narration with the second canto. He begins his narration. First chapter of the second canto, Srila Prabhupada has given the title in English, The First Step in God Realization. The first step in God Realization means to see nature, the universe, as the body of God, the universal form, as the body of God, to see all the trees, the rivers, the hills, as parts of the manifestation of the body of God. So that's a beginning. And we have to go up and beyond that. But it's just struck me, staying here, how that we come to the realization of how Krishna is controlling everything, but that doesn't nullify or retire the understanding that Krishna is the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon. He is nature. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Krishna pervades everything, and the whole universe is a manifestation of Krishna. So Krishna is the material energy also. That's his separated energy. Bina prakriti rashtada bhumi rapa nalo vayo kanglano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yangme bina prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. These are all Krishna's separated energies. But the spiritual understanding, we see the spirit in everything, and everything is spiritualized. There's a spirit for everything. There's a tree, spirit. Ganga. We worship Ganga. You can see the picture of the deity Ganga, beautiful goddess, sitting on a... It's usually shown as a crocodile, but actually it's supposed to be a makara. Magar in... Modalai. In Gujarati it's Magar. You'll see signs in Gujarati in the center of Baroda city. Careful of Magars. They have them right in the city. There's some little stream and some jungle, and they say, don't go down here, you're careful. There are crocodiles right in the heart of Baroda city. So she is the goddess. And we worship Ganga how? By taking Ganga, offering the water. We can also offer arati at various places along the Ganga. You'll see people worshipping Ganga in the evening especially with nice lamps, arati. That's very famous at Haridwar. That's very famous, that's there. And all along the Ganga, everywhere. Rishikesh, there's beautiful arati done every night by those people at the Paramartha Niketan. At Varanasi, of course, so everywhere. They'll worship. But that worshipping the Ganga river, that what is that river? Water. But she is the goddess also. They're non-different. You can how to understand that? Because spirit pervades matter. Krishna pervades everything ultimately. So nature is Krishna in one sense. The full understanding of nature is, it's Krishna's nature. But Shakti and Shaktiman, the energy and the possessor of the energy, Abheda, they're non-different. So different and non-different. If we only see nature and we don't see Krishna, then we're missing the whole point. But we also shouldn't see Krishna and forget everything is his nature. Of course, this is the material nature, which is the perverted reflection of the spiritual nature. But still it has its beauty, is it not? Okay, let's just look at the sky now. We don't get clear blue skies here so much, it seems. At least in the last few days. But clouds in the sky with blue, and very pleasing. And it won't be like that in 5 minutes. And it'll never be like that ever again. The other morning, every morning when I come up after Mangalarti, I come and I stop and I look at the sky. Especially now, the moon is now waning. When the full moon is there with the clouds, very beautiful to see. One morning I just, very, very beautiful. And I thought I'd call the devotee, and then just in the next second the clouds had covered them. There's moon just above and moon just below, and then the next second the clouds had covered the moon from our vision. And people make photos of this. It's not the same as being there. photo will never be the same as seeing that. And every day I look out and it looks so pleasing. Even though it's every day, you see the same thing every time. It looks very pleasing. Except we look in that direction, then we see these towers. What is that? Mobile, they call it a mobile tower.
Yeah, those are mobile towers.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know what they're called. They're not mobile, they don't move. They're some kind of... No, but mobile is an adjective for mobile phones. But as often happens in English, it's too long to say, so you just say mobile. So mobile became a noun. And now again you're using the noun as an adjective,
yes,
as a mobile tower. But a mobile tower actually means that it can be moved around. So you can get the internet and all this kind of thing. But that doesn't look nice, does it?
No.
Looks very ugly, out of place. And traditionally people, they'd build buildings which blend into the landscape. They don't make it look, they may make it even look nicer. Just like in Ireland, you may have seen in the country, they have little houses, small houses, and they'll paint them bright blue, bright green, like this. Have you seen in the country? I don't know if they even have that. Still they do that. Everything's so modern in Ireland now. Ireland is finished. What was that? Maheshwar wrote to us, Ireland is finished with the vote to allow abortion. And they were celebrating like Ireland won the football game or something. Of course, animal slaughter has been central to Irish life since time immemorial. But, that seeing, we can see that this beauty and think this is Krishna. Just we have to be careful not to become so attracted to it that we think, well, it's so nice, I might as well just stay here in this material world. So we could come back as a snake. 8,400,000 species. Snakes. Or you may, if someone is in the mode of goodness, then they go up to the heavenly planets. Urdhvanga chanti sattvasta. Yeah, it looks nice, but actually this world is a place of suffering, so it's all suffering, actually. All the living beings are struggling. You may have seen these scientists, they make photography of plants growing, and then they speed it up 10,000 times, and then you can see how the plants are fighting with each other to get light. Or the creeper is trying to strangle the plant up which it's going, and the plant is trying to resist like this. So it's all a struggle. And the bird is always, you don't see here, but in England, where I was born, the blackbird is very common. It's called a blackbird. They'll go on the lawn, people have lawns in their house, and there'll be a little hole where the worm comes out of the hole. And they'll put their head down to look for a worm to eat. So the worm is trying to avoid the blackbird, and the blackbird, even while eating, or looking, or go down and then look up immediately. And then look again. They're always looking up. Even while they're eating some other creature, they're very afraid that some cat or some other creature will come and catch me. Which also happens. The cats, probably you have these cats here for the rats. But they must be killing so many birds also. The cats are expert at catching birds. And even if they're not hungry, they just do it as a kind of sport. So it could be affecting the whole eco-balance, because the birds also eat the all different kinds of slugs and You don't see slugs so much, snails and this and that. Anyway, the whole ecosystem gets disturbed. But the point is that it's a world of competition. And though it looks very peaceful, it's generally peaceful and pleasing. But there's a cat. She'll live a long life. One of the cats running around. So it's a world of struggle. It's pleasant to see the birds, not all the birds, some birds, they make some harsh sounds. Crows are famous for making harsh sounds. Some owls come here at night, they make some harsh sound. That's mentioned in the fifth canto, the forest of material enjoyment, how the owls, someone is lost in the forest, and the owls make a harsh sound. So they're some, just like rice plants are very pleasing to see, and castor plants and sago plants are not very pleasing to see. So the peacock is pleasing to see, the swan is pleasing to see, the crow is not pleasing to see, the vulture is not pleasing to see. You don't see vultures much these days, do you? Probably because all the cows are taken off to the slaughterhouses. They're not allowed to die naturally. Haven't seen a vulture for years. So, they're different gradations. The mango tree, the pious tree. And then the impious trees. Neem is supposed to be impious, although it's very good for health in many ways. The neem tree. That, what is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita? That rasagya kokil, arasagya ka chushe gyana nimba fale, rasagya kokil kai primamra mokule. That the gyanis who are simply interested in dry knowledge, they have no rasa. They have no juice. They're compared to the crows who eat the neem. Arasagya kak chushe, gyanan, the fruits of the neem tree. And the devotees are compared to the kokil, who look like crows. The kokil looks like a crow somewhat. But it's a very sweet voice, whereas the crow is a very harsh voice. The kokil, just like, it's a fact, the crows like to eat neem. They're not only do they look nasty and make a nasty sound, but they like to eat the neem fruit. Whereas the kokil actually looks like a crow, but more delicate and then they make a sweet sound, and they like to eat the buds of the mango tree. So there's a difference. Different levels. Pious trees, pious animals. Impious animals. It's not good karma to get born as a camel, or an ass, or a snake, or a scorpion. We say good karma, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, sadha sadhyoni janmasu, better and worse species of life, but actually it's all a mess. It's all the world of distress. So anyway, the first step in God realization is to see God in nature, spirit everywhere. And one advantage of living, as I guess I could say, I'm living here now. I've been here apart from a few trips here and there for giving lectures for about 2 months, something like that. 2 months. That must be the longest I stayed anywhere. for years. I think the last time I spent, I used to stay in Thailand in Bangkok in the 1980s. Didn't go outside much at all. So, living in the lap of nature helps us to remember Krishna. So we can remember Krishna is the light of the sun and the moon. Gama vishaj bhutani dharyame ahamojasa pushnami choshadi sarva somo bhutdara satnaka. Krishna says that the earth, I maintain the earth. Krishna is maintaining the earth and maintaining all the living beings. Krishna is the moon, which nourishes all the different, gives rasa. The moon is full of rasa. As Prabhupada said, how can they say it's all desert and there's no life there? Well, the moon gives life. The moon gives taste to all the plants, and they say there's no plants, there's no life on the moon. So this is Krishna. He nourishes. Living on the lap of nature means Krishna is nourishing. But gradually, as Kali Yuga goes on, the fruit will become, it's like a mango. You get the mango seed and the mango fruit. But it'll be skin and seed, and hardly any fruit in between. This will happen more and more. Or the earth won't give food, won't give crop. Then people will have to eat meat, and they may eat their own children also, like some snakes. They eat their own children. Some fish, they eat. So human beings are coming down to the lowest level. Srila Prabhupada's mission to bring people to sane life. People can lead a sane life. Sane life means live peacefully, regulated life, without desiring so many useless things. Just yavad artha prayojanam, just whatever we need to maintain the body should produce. Chant Hare Krishna. This way make our life successful. So you're doing that, living here. But actually these farm communities, they're especially meant for Grihastha devotees. You can also be just like forest rishis. But of course, most of the rishis, when we say, they were mostly Grihasthas also. The ancient rishis, the rishikas, female, their wives. So anyway, live here, live peacefully, and let's try to develop these communities to show people a better way of life. We can see Krishna in the city by hearing about Krishna, and we can see the effect of the lower modes of nature on people. But living here, we can see the wonder of how Krishna organizes everything so amazingly, so that every living creature gets their food one way or the other. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kama. Krishna supplies the necessities of all living beings. One way or another, they get it, isn't it? They're all living beings. They all have different kinds of food. And Krishna arranges so that everyone gets. And with a little effort, we can produce far more food than we need, actually. Which is why the Vaishyas, they produce, few people do farming, and they produce enough for the whole society, and more, even more than the whole society. So then large quantities of grain and ghee are offered in sacrifice. And then milk products are also used just for fun, for sporting. They'll throw it on each other. They have so much. Can you imagine getting ghee and just throwing it for some? Yeah. Can you imagine ghee even? Having ghee? I told this several times. We used to, this was early 1980s, traveling in the villages in Bangladesh, where people had never, most people had never seen anything, electricity or anything. We'd carry a generator and we'd show the films. One of the film was the film about New Vrindavan, very nice film made by Yadubha Prabhu and his wife, Vishakha Mataji. So we'd show this film, and one of the scenes is cooking puris in ghee. And everyone would be amazed. How can you have so much ghee to cook puris in? Because at home they'd keep a little bottle like this size of ghee for special guests. We'd get ghee. This size, literally. People could hardly afford it. Of course, that was, Bangladesh was very poor in those days. Still, we used to see the children with their big belly like this. They're suffering from lack of proper nutrition. They were amazed. How can you have so much ghee? Very difficult to get, unless you make ghee yourself from milking the cows yourself. You can never really be sure whether it's proper ghee or not. People used to use dalda. I think that's practically no one uses nowadays, huh? They used to use as a substitute for ghee. Now no one uses. Well, there was that big scandal 25 years ago when they found it was all, there was putting buffalo fat in it, even though it was owned by a Jain company, Jain people. I think at that time it went down using dalda. You ever heard of dalda? No. It's something like margarine, but you can use it for frying. So it's supposed to be a ghee substitute. So very difficult to get. But actually the description we get in the Shastra, the cows and then so much ghee that people can throw at each other for sport, for fun. How about that? There should be so many cows, so much ghee, so much milk. I was told in Bangladesh, one of our good friends there, very helped us so much. He was about 60 at the time in the 1980s. So he said, when he was young in Bangladesh in the village, everyone had plenty of milk. Milk, only cows. You don't see many buffaloes in Bangladesh. At that time, if at all in West Bengal or pretty much anywhere in India, if you could get milk, it was mostly buffalo's milk, if you could get it at all. So he said, but in East Bengal, there's so much milk. He said, no one, there's plenty of milk for everyone. There's no question of selling. And if someone at home, someone had some function, some religious ceremony, something, they just asked someone for some more, they needed some extra milk and they give us. That's all. No one would think of selling it at all. And that became the poor country by mismanagement. So nature can give in abundance. Krishna can give. He will give. Just we have to be pious, that's all. Chant Hare Krishna. Everything will come. Hare Krishna. We can appreciate the beauty of nature. Banana trees, also auspicious trees. So many flowers. Heavenly fragrance. Hare Krishna.